The Lakonda School District in Skagit County is one of four school districts all across the country suing the company Juul. This is the largest e-cigarette maker in the country. Superintendent Whitney Meisner says the device is specifically targeting kids and she needs to get involved. Right now, she joins me on the line. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So before we get into some of the arguments that are being made, how is the Juul device impacting the students in your school district?
Well, I think it's impacting both the students who are using it and the students who are noticing other students using it. First of all, they're very easy to conceal. They look like things kids would typically have in a classroom, like a flash drive or a pen. And that's hard for us to regulate, and it's tempting for kids to bring into the classroom. And we're also hearing from some kids that when they watch other kids use the devices, it's scaring them. It makes the bathrooms crowded, and sometimes they feel unsafe. So we're trying to address all of that, the safety of all students and the health and well-being of all students.
How much of the student population do you think are smoking?
You know,
vaping,
I'm not entirely sure. Our recent healthy youth survey data, which are a year old, shows that use is on the rise, but I would suspect if we gave the survey again this year, it would be an even higher number. So it's just very difficult to predict.
So why are you guys engaged in this lawsuit right now? Because obviously Juul has been around for a while.
I think that there's been a lot of recent publicity about the heightened dangers with people becoming very ill and even dying as a result of using Juul products. And we want to make sure that our children are not going to be on the receiving end of that kind of detrimental health impact. So it's we've got to get it out of the hands of kids and out of our schools.
Well, it's not necessarily Juul products that have been used, right? I mean, from the reports, it's been, you know, black market devices or tampered with devices, not necessarily coming from Juul.
That very well could be. However, without the marketing prowess of a company like Juul, people wouldn't even know about those black market devices.
They wouldn't know about. I have no idea how to buy a black market vaping device.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with what Juul is and what Juul provides. So could you connect the dots a little bit more for me on that one?
Yeah. So, but I don't know specifically how to go buy something on the black market. What I'm saying is that without knowing that something like a Juul e-cigarette is in existence, they wouldn't be looking for it on the black market.
I mean, okay, but I mean, you could see how that argument can be sort of twisted and manipulated a little bit, right? I mean, there are lots of things that kids can't purchase legally now, but we can sell legally to people who are 18 or 21 and over, and so you're not going after those companies. I suppose, why is it specifically Juul when they haven't necessarily been tied to anything that's been going on in your district as far as some of the health impacts? Because there are other makers of e-cigarette products that you're not suing.
That's correct. We're looking at Juul as the preeminent company, and that's our first focus, I guess, is what I would say.
Okay. How would you say that they specifically target kids? Because I've seen some of the comments you've made, and you're very direct. You say they are targeting children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you create devices that look like other things that kids use, and when you put flavors in your liquids that are flavors that are attractive to children, and when you create marketing campaigns that have pictures of young-looking people doing cool things, it's very difficult for me to understand how that wouldn't be targeting children.
Well,
targeting our youth.
Do you think that then flavored alcohol is targeting children?
I think that a very good case could be made for that.
Would you make that case? Because I'm presuming that you, just like any other school district across the country, have students who are drinking alcohol and they shouldn't. And we want to tell every kid, do not do that. But again, I've certainly seen lots of vodka flavors that mm-hmm. are, you know, very similar, if not exactly the same, to the Juul device flavors. And I'm not seeing mm-hmm. a lawsuit against vodka makers or cider makers or beer makers.
Sure. Well, I think that it's an interesting point on a couple of levels. One is that I agree that if there are companies that are creating flavors that are harmful to children that are going to be ingested by children, they should be held accountable. The main difference is I haven't yet seen a vodka company that is marketing something that is easy to conceal and carry into a school campus and to use without being observed.
Do you have water bottles in your school?
there's a big difference between a water bottle and a water bottle filled with an alcohol that can
but
be smelled,
I mean.
And that we can see the impacts.
So okay, so, you're the basic argument is that it's a little bit easier for you to track a bottle that might be filled with cotton candy flavored vodka than some of these devices.
That's a piece of it. I also just think when we look at our statistics, and I don't have them right in front of me, the impact of the number of kids that are using Juul-type devices is at school, I'm not talking about outside of school, at school is significantly higher than what you're talking about.
That's what you believe?
With vodka.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm just using your argument, which it's a weird argument to me, Whitney, this idea that there are flavors that appeal to kids, and that is absolutely true, but there are flavors that also appeal to adults. And I'm singularly hearing the calls to ban vaping products, and specifically the flavors, although not tobacco, which is, again, a little bit bizarre to me that, you know, in calling for a ban here in Washington State by the governor, saying, okay, we're going to go after the berry flavors, the mint and the mangoes and whatnot, but not tobacco flavor. I don't understand that argument. And I don't understand how there's any semblance of consistency when we allow for, you know, vodka that's flavored with the exact same type of marketing.
Well, I think there are a couple of differences, but I'm certainly not going to advocate that we continue marketing anything that's flavored that could be an attractive nuisance to youth in particular. Alcohol in general is one of the most toxic things that a human can put in their body, so I wouldn't advocate that we should be marketing alcohol any stronger than we are now either.
But my point is that you're not suing on that behalf, and that's really my issue here, is that you're going after Juul, and if that's what you want to do, if you think that that's the right move, more power to you. I happen to disagree with that because I look at e-cigarettes as a means for people to get off traditional cigarettes, and it is safer. Not safe. It is safer than traditional cigarettes. And the data seems to suggest... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, the data seems to suggest that people aren't choosing to smoke or vape via e-cigarettes when they otherwise would not have done any of it, although I suppose that exists. But we do see a clear decline in people traditionally smoking cigarettes going to vapor products. And if they're going to do any of those, I'd rather them do the vaporizing, not the tobacco smoking.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because our most recent healthy youth survey actually contradicts that for the first time in many, many years. We're seeing addiction to nicotine and use of cigarettes on the increase for the first time in at least a couple of decades. So I think that the information is changing all the time, and that's part of
perhaps
why we want to put a stop to this right now and say, get all of this out of the hands of kids and out of our classrooms and our schools.
I will say this on those surveys, which this kind of drives me nuts. The survey, unless something has changed recently, will consider someone who tried a cigarette or tried a Juul one time in the last 30 days and make no major difference between that person and someone who's a habitual daily smoker. And isn't that a little bit misleading?
There are all different kinds of ways that the data are collected, but yeah, that is one of the measures.
Yeah, and I wonder if, because here's one deal. I technically, according to that, I would be considered a Juul device smoker or an e-vapor because I tried it one time because I was kind of curious, right? I didn't become addicted. You generally don't become addicted after taking one puff. I just kind of wanted to see what it was like. But I would be treated in that circumstance the exact same way as someone who is vaping four or five times a day. And when you've got newer technology, and I think this is a valid point for people who are concerned, is, yeah, a kid might be more willing to try that out to see what it's all about. But we shouldn't conflate those two types of smokers. And I wonder if that gives off a disingenuous opinion of the data or disingenuous look at the data.
Well, all I know is that they've used the same type of survey for every other year for decades.
That's how they do it.
If we've seen a trend asking the same question going down and all of a sudden the trend has changed, that would strike me as significant.
Yeah. Again, like I said, you are absolutely correct to point that data out. That's how the data is collected. I just wish that we would be a little bit more consistent, I guess, in the way we decide to call out a smoker or a vapor user. What's the timeline on this as far as moving forward? Obviously, the case has been submitted. Are you coordinating, or do you have just the lawyer who's handling it on behalf of the school district?
The law firm is handling the timeline for us. They've kept us informed. We get pretty much daily updates at this point. I don't expect it'll move forward
overly
quickly. And quite frankly, even if people disagree with the action, it's gotten a conversation started that needed to happen, including you. You're talking to me and getting people thinking about this. And my greatest hope, quite frankly, is that more parents and children are going to be engaging in these types of conversation at the dinner table and in the car rides. And if more people are talking about it, more kids are healthy, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, again, I don't want kids smoking cigarettes or vaporizing. You don't either. And this is a good point for parents who are listening. Have these conversations with your kids. Have them with your kids. Even if you think your kid would never do it, you know, just remind them. I've been talking with Superintendent Whitney Meisner of the LeConner School District. Whitney, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.